Season 5, Episode 1, As Flies to Careless Boys, Are We to the Gods, or This Bud's for You. Before we start the episode, we have some background.
What?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know
what does that mean? What does that mean?
As Flies to Careless Boys, Are We to the Gods, or This Bud's for You.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just think that, like, one of the writers is a little drunk, and they wrote that title down and said, fuck it, and just pushed it through. I also don't think that...
Or he was like a philosophy major at Harvard.
He was like, I gotta use this education somewhere.
But he wasn't really good at it.
Before we get into the episode itself, just for some background, the last episode of season 4, Bobby was in the mix with some trouble dealing with Joey Salvo. And he went to go meet with him, and Joey Salvo got shot. His partner Andy Sipowicz showed up, and they had an argument, and Simone just got rid of his tape recorder, and that was the end of the whole season.
Yeah, he showed up on the scene quick.
He was there. He said he took a ride on Mulberry, but he was clearly following Simone. Anyway. Little Sipowicz suspish. It opens up with Sipowicz talking to his wife, Sylvia Costas.
Little suspicious.
They put down their child Theo to sleep, and Sylvia makes a little jab saying that Russell wanted to get all four of them together, Sipowicz, Simone, her, and Russell, for a dinner. Sipowicz shoots it down saying he has nothing to do with it. He'd only do it if it was his idea, being Simone's. And Sylvia Costas just asks, what happened out there, Andy? And Andy says there's too many people in the middle of it, giving more suspicion that maybe he shot Joey Salvo.
Okay, I have a question to ask, but I feel like I should wait till you either explain more, because I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get through the intro.
Okay, so then we cut to Bobby Simone, whose new job is working at this bar, and he's having his dinner break, I guess.
And is he a bouncer?
I don't know what he is, because he tapped the keg.
And I know that sometimes barbacks and bouncers do that.
They'll tap the kegs. The bouncers will?
Sometimes you have, like, a guy who fronts the door, and if the bartender's busy, they'll ask him, like, hey, if it's not, like, if he doesn't have to do anything at the door, hey, can you tap the keg real quick?
Maybe.
I've seen that happen. I've also seen it, like, if a bar back would do that. But, like, I've also seen, like, the general manager have to do it if they just need it, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, what happens is, we're not even sure he works at this bar until he starts talking to an angry customer. But the FBI agent, Kriegel, who got him in this mess with Joey Salvo in the first place, comes in to warn him that the grand jury's going to want to talk to him and Sipowicz, and that they should get their story straight with everybody on the record so that nobody gets in trouble. The reason he leaves is because the guy gets a little loud, the guy with the sediment in his beer, and Simone tries to talk to
him. Which is a weird thing to be mad about.
Well, like, he's also clearly drunk, and just the idea that a drunk is like, the quality of my beer isn't high enough as I've had my third as I sit here alone. It's like, obviously, beer quality isn't your problem, man. Like, you gotta work on some other shit.
Yeah, dude.
Get your shit together. But
figure out your life.
But Kriegel flashes a gun at that guy, and then that guy's like, I was in Desert Storm. I'll go get my gun in my car. So does that guy think he's the Flash? Like, he's gonna run out to his car and grab a gun before the...
Well, no, a lot of people don't know that guy auditioned to be in The Big Lebowski. But, he kept yelling Desert Storm instead of Vietnam, so they had to let him go.
It doesn't match up with
that,
the right
that
war.
That whole situation goes from, like, 1 to 1,000. In, like, 2 seconds.
Well, the smart
it
FBI
goes from
guy,
there's sediment into my beer to, shut the fuck up, I've got a gun, to let me run outside and get my gun, bitch. it just out of nowhere. Like, it was just unbelievable.
And Simone uses that time to get Kriegel the hell out of there, and basically says, he gives him a Simone threat, saying, after this is over, you're not going to want to see me again. The other important thing about this scene, because after that he calls Andy, but before we get there, he is so tan and so
and super thin.
Yeah, and so skinny.
Like cancer thin.
He's oh, like that Philadelphia funny. AIDS thin.
Oh, you went there, I didn't. You chose the AIDS, not me.
Bobby uses the phone at the bar, and the loudmouth says he'll go with some bottled beer, I guess, so he's still going to keep drinking. And Simone calls Andy, who's reading the Three Bears to Theo, essentially says, hey man, the grand jury's going to call both of us. Well, he doesn't say it on the phone. He's like, I need to talk to you about something, because now he knows that information. Simone says something interesting where he says, okay, we can meet tomorrow morning. I've gained a little weight. Now, did they just add that scene in? Or that line to make you think, oh, maybe Simone isn't super thin. Maybe Sipwich just got fatter.
Yeah, I just thought that line was super random.
It's also...
Like, it made no sense. Like, that was something that, like... I mean, maybe they were trying to show... It's something like you say to an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend or something.
I gained like a little weight.
I don't know. Or a friend you haven't seen in, like, years.
So they're not shocked.
My question earlier I wanted to ask was, is this the first time they've talked since the whole thing happened?
It appears so. Because they...
Right, are we to assume that?
Because, yeah, even when they talk later, because, I mean, we gotta cut to the theme song and then go to the next scene, it plays out like they haven't really talked about it at all. So, yeah, okay. It would play that they haven't spoken to each other, and he was just suspended for a couple of months, and Sipwich just kept on working on the job.
Yeah, but what's weird is when they meet up and they talk about it, they talk about it like they already have a plan and they already have like been dealing with it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's almost like they had their separate plans and it just happened to mesh each other so well that they don't have to argue about anything. Okay.
So, like, play the theme music then, I guess. Because, like...
play because, the theme music.
Like, what I'm going to say is going to ruin a couple things. Because it's like, when Andy and Simone meet, it's like, Simone's like, here's all this info, bam, 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 bam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they meet at the station house, right?
Yeah.
The first time. And then immediately after that, Kirkendall's like, here's this information, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And then Andy gets with Simone, and Andy's like, hey, here's this info, but they're like, oh, yeah, boom, 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 boom. Like, they've already had conversations about this situation.
Yeah, it seems like they all...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, now we gotta get to the theme song. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where we go through every single episode of NYPD Blue. I'm Kirk, the voice on the other end is Kyle. This is the theme song to NYPD Blue. Alright, gotta cut it short. So we get out of the theme song, and Russell is getting ready to go to work, and her and Simone live together. So Russell is getting ready to go in, and there's a page, which means there's a DOA, which means Simone knows he's gonna have to wait a little bit to talk to Sipowitz.
Yeah. He asks about like what time and stuff, or how long before he should go in.
And then this scene has something else that's important, where Diane throws in some doubt that Sipowitz may have killed Joey Salvo.
Yeah, she basically says, like, don't get hung out to dry on his mistake.
Simone says, like, I'm only doing this because I don't want to hurt Andy because he obviously went out there to help me. And she's like, yeah, but what if he killed him? Like, just straight out ass. And the show is kind of playing this game where it's like, did Andy do it? Like, it's trying to make you question before it even starts.
When you first saw this episode, I mean, that's a dumb question, because they're not going to make, like, their most favorite character, or second most, about when you see Simone and Sipwich, but they're not going to make him, like, a killer, so, never mind.
Well, maybe. I mean, I think it was, because the context, we know there's 12 seasons, we know that he's in all of them, it's probably not him. But the episode is trying really hard to get you to doubt it, at least a little bit.
That's true, and in a time where, like, there's really no internet conversation about the shows,
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you have to wait a week, sometimes 2 weeks, depending on if there's, like, holidays and shit, to see the show. Like, you know, and then, like, Andy also used to have, like, his own problems as a character, but, or he had, his character had problems, so he could maybe turn back to those, I don't know. You can get away with it, I guess. It'd be a little easier.
With that going on, then cuts to the DOA, which is a crackhead pimp named Gerald or Frankie, according to a shot prostitute, killed a dude on the street and killed a dude behind the door in, like, a shitty hotel. And the guy giving his statement is looks like an Indian guy with a very thick Indian accent, and that's a famous face, Jay Chandrasekhar.
Yeah.
Of Broken Lizard fame. He's in both Super Troopers, all the Broken Lizard movies. He directed, I believe, both Super Troopers. And
one of my favorite last season episodes of Community.
Oh yeah, he is in that episode of Community.
he plays the really offensive comic.
It's like goopty goopty goopty.
They fight. They fight for his right to be offensive.
Yeah, that's right. That was a good episode. I forgot he was in that episode of Community. The only question I have about him is his accent a little too much?
Well, I mean, he's... I mean, if a white guy did it, yeah, it would be.
If it was a white guy, then it's a problem?
But I mean, it's New York City. There's a lot of people who have that accent, so... He's just portraying what they wanted in New York City, like, what, he was a hotel owner, a taxi driver, or something?
Yeah, he was definitely new to New York, and he had his best friend killed by this Frankie Girard or whatever. He tells the story that he was walking with his friend, the guy was pulling on the pimp, he wanted, like, basically the guy gave him the gun to shoot, he accidentally shot the prostitute, and then Girard or Frankie killed his friend. And then he ran upstairs and killed two people through a door, and it was the wrong people, something about his hose, I don't remember exactly. But the pimp lets us know the important details, which is this Girard and Frankie, he's crazy on the rock.
Yeah.
And you know how crazy we get on that rock.
That crack.
If Always Sunny has taught us anything, it's don't get involved with crack. That's for sure.
I mean, I seem to have a pretty good time.
Oh, are you addicted to crack? This is fake crying. That whole scene ends with Sipowicz just going, I need to get back to the house. Like, he just, like, declares, like, I'm done with this, even though they would usually canvass and talk to people. He's just like, I'm done. Going to the house.
He's got a lot going on.
Bobby shows up looking fly, wearing Bobby wear. Like, dark gray jacket and black shirt.
Thin as ever.
Yeah, he's looking good. He rolls in, and he sees Gina, who's... Well, he first sees Fancy, but then he sees Gina, who's clearly pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, straight preggers. And James got a haircut. Like, those are the two big developments at the station house.
Oh, weird. Nothing new happening with boring-ass Medavoy?
Well, we talk a little bit about his life a little bit later in the episode, but the first thing we find out is Gina got preggers, James got a haircut, and everybody's saying hi to Bobby, how they wish to see him back soon, and Bobby wants to talk to Sipowicz. They take the room, and they make sure nobody is watching through the one-way mirror.
Which I thought to myself, why even go into that room?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just go into a room you know doesn't have
windows? Because once you go inside, you don't know if anyone's in that room anymore.
Yeah, that was a pretty terrible idea. I thought the same thing. And then they have another conversation later in the episode about the same topic, and they never even check the room. So someone could just be in there, like, eating their lunch, and then suddenly they hear about this shit that's going on. Bobby and Andy talk about the fact that, well, Bobby hears that they're going to be brought to the grand jury, and they know that... A car pulled up after Joey Salvo was killed. Simone basically says, I got an idea, but I'm not gonna go through with it if it's possible you actually shot Joey Salvo. And Sipowicz kind of takes it as, fine, let him pin it on me, I don't care. And Simone's like, no, don't you realize I would have just done that already if I wasn't worried about you too. Like, I could have just gotten out from this 2 months ago by telling them exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they haven't talked to each other, is because Siplitz gets upset when he's like, I'm not going to do it unless I know you didn't do it. And Siplitz is like, just put me there and then I tell them to prove that I pulled the trigger.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think of that.
Like, if they had talked at all beforehand, because then Siplitz convinces him, like, I didn't shoot him. He says it multiple times. He even jokes, if you ask me again, I'll shoot you. And Simone says, I'm not going to go forward unless I'm convinced you didn't do it, so I know that they can't prove you did. Because he's worried they got some other witness showing Siplitz doing it. So,
yeah.
That's why he's like, I don't want to go forward if it's a fact that you did do it. You did it to help me, and then I just hang you out to dry.
Makes sense.
They head back to just the offices to look over pimps in the area to see if they can find something about a crackhead pimp named Gerard or Frankie.
After they talk, you forget that Kirkendall gives Andy information.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. While they're looking for the pimp.
My bad.
Yeah, while they're looking for the pimp, Jill gets in real close to Andy and says, hey, they're going to bring you both up to the grand jury. And he goes, cool, thanks. Even though he already knows this. And then she's like, I'm going to get some more info tonight. And then you see Leo Cohen give her a little wave.
Yeah, but it's this weird, like, weird wave.
Like, in the small, like, of his back, kind of, hey.
But he's not really waving. He's, like, acting like his hand's a puppet.
Yeah, he's an amateur Muppet artist.
Like, he's making his hand, like, open and mouthy.
I didn't like it very much.
And it was, like, also, like, everyone's watching you, dude. Like,
yeah, does he really think it's sly what he's doing? Typically, yeah. There's, like, a dozen people in that office at any one time. All they need is for one person to see it, and then they're like, hey, so what the fuck are you doing, Leo?
He keeps doing dumb shit, and he keeps getting Jill Kirkendall naked, so, I mean, he must think it's doing something, right?
Whatever gets Jill naked. It keeps getting Jill naked. He's still getting to see those Kirkendalls.
We almost see, spoiler alert, we get a little side Kirkendall later.
We sure do. We get some side-indalls. After Cohen waves, during the Bobby Simone and Andy Siplitz discussion, Bobby says he's going to shake loose the possible shooter by telling IAB that Andy was there, but not a suspect. He was there to help him, to see what they come up with. So Bobby sets up
Is this to show us that Bobby's, like, just, like, a great detective?
I mean, if we haven't seen it yet, I mean, it only cements it.
Yeah, right? You're like, I mean, because Andy, like, none of this is, like, really Andy's idea.
No, not at all.
Because it's all, like, we'll get to it later, but it's all Bobby's kind of, like, master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways. Okay, sorry.
No, it's cool. It's true. He comes up with this idea, I can shake him loose by telling IAB that you were there.
Yeah, fuck you, I'm not sorry.
You don't have to yell at me, man. So.
Oh, you haven't even seen me yell.
Bobby goes and talks to Shannon, who you may remember from last season. He was one of the IAB dudes that he talked to.
Also, he also played a different character. He played a one of Andy's childhood friends named Sox.
He played Sox?
Yeah, he was Sox, the guy who robbed the candy store that Andy used to work at.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he was Sox.
NYPD Blue alum who played Sox. I don't have his name.
And, spoiler alert, we'll get to another spoiler alert. Well, we'll get to another known for later, who was also a recurring character.
Oh, yes, we will.
Not a recurring character, a recurring person. Anyways, moving on.
Shannon hears Bobby's story and immediately says, so don't tell anybody, keep this between you and Siplitz, before I gotta go do some things. Which immediately tells me, okay, this guy's fucking doing something wrong.
Oh, 100%.
If at any point you're telling somebody something, and he's like, hey, keep this between you and I and the third party, and I'm gonna go do some stuff, that stuff involves some bad business, like, immediately.
Yeah, 100%.
I would never imagine Martens, a much better IAB officer, going, okay, keep this between us, I'm gonna go talk to some guys.
I mean, it depends on who. I think it also depends on who he was dealing with. Like, if he was dealing with Andy and it was something, I feel like he would help Andy out. And, you know what I mean?
Even though Andy does nothing but shit on him.
Yeah, but they were not bad, but there's a respect there, though. Like, Andy shat on him all the time in the beginning. But, like, he shows Martens a little bit of respect. Martens is actually, like, not that bad.
Yeah, Martens is the best.
Yeah.
He's probably my best secondary character, my favorite secondary character, besides John, which we were still waiting for him to show up and stay
around. Oh, no, mine is Steve Richards.
Steve Richards. I remember Steve Richards.
He's fucking amazing. And then there's another informant. I forget who it is. Joey Pants.
Joey Pantolano.
Joey Pants, dude. Him and Fancy's informant. Oh, he's amazing.
They get a call out to another DOA. This Frankie Gerard? This Frankie Gerard guy shot a dude at a coffee shop, a locksmith, because he believed he was stealing his hose. And then,
Don't be stealing Frankie Gerard's hose.
And he shot him in the ear while yelling at him, and then shot a trash can. And even the uniform cop was like, good luck with this one, Andy, and then just walked away, which I found hilarious. Now,
and Andy does something that's weird to me, and he stares at the trash can, like, like mystified.
Well, he's wondering why he would shoot the trash can.
Because he's high on the rock, dude.
Because he's on that rock. Like, rock will make you shoot a trash can.
He's high on that Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
He just saw Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle. Or no, what's the new one? The Next Level.
Jumanji The Next Level. Excuse me.
He caught the trailer for the Jungle Cruise, and he was like, I gotta shoot this motherfucking trash can. Andy gets mad at Medavoy because he mentions Andrew Cunanan. I don't know who that is. A spree killer? I don't remember Andrew Cunanan. But basically, they leave that scene, and we cut to an awkward-ass date between Cohen and Jill.
I'm gonna say.
I know. It's just, I don't know what to say and how to say it. It's like the weirdest sex scene. Because.
Yeah, dude.
It's awkward as hell.
The thing is like, weird.
It's so gross. It seems wrong.
Yeah.
Also, watching her eat, I don't know if you noticed this. Like, she put, like I think, like, cashews or something in her mouth. And, like, she was pursing her lips before the food was in her mouth. And I was like, why are you eating like an anteater? Like, what are you doing? He asked about her...
Andrew Cunanan was the guy who killed Gianni Versace.
Really?
Yeah, he went on, like, a killing spree.
And one of those people is Mr. Versace?
And that's why Sipowicz keeps making fun of Medavoy for saying that, because he's like, oh, you really think this is going to be like a spree killing? Like, this is what he is? He's a spree killer? And he was like giving him shit for like thinking like that.
Also, call me a weirdo, but I think I would have figured out that Jill is only looking for information by the question she asks before she starts having sex with me.
Oh, 100%. Like, this dude's supposed to be a lawyer?
She's like not very coy at all. And then
yeah, she's like, "Hey, who you calling the fan?
Hey, what's happening?
What's the evidence you got?"
It's like,
I can't tell you that. Oh no, I get it. Here are my tits.
That's literally what I have here. She says she clearly wants the info. She brings his hands to her boobs, then gets the information.
Yeah,
the information is Sipowicz is the suspect and Bobby is the witness, and he just says, "Thank God I don't know any national secrets." So knowing before he starts to bang her, yeah, she could get whatever she wants out of me, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I would give her the nuclear codes.
For a little bit
of those Kirkendalls, man.
He'll give you everything. He'll give you absolutely everything.
He is a horrible lawyer.
He is definitely not good at keeping information locked up. After that, Bobby gets a wake-up call from the FBI guy, Kriegel? I don't remember.
Well, this dude's Kegels. A fucktard.
Yeah, he's kind of an idiot. There's a subtle thing where he says, oh, Russell just stopped by, and even on Simone's face, he's like, no, I'm fucking her, you know.
Yeah, Bobby finds out that they're following Shannon. because he comes in and he says, "What'd you talk to Shannon about?" And he goes, "Oh, I would have known if you were tailing me, so you must be tailing Shannon."
Yeah, exactly.
And that's Bobby's way of telling him that he's like, I know your play, basically.
And he even says, he's like, "Who's hurting to hurt Andy as some side action? Wasn't doing what I was told. I was doing what I thought was right." He's like, "You weren't supposed to do anything. You weren't supposed to know anything. You were supposed to do what you were told." And after that, and Simone kind of gives him, like, some attitude, he's like, "All bets are off and all debts are paid. And Simone just goes, "I feel so alone now." And the guy leaves.
I think he's just mad because Simone played him.
Yeah. He's just mad because he thinks he's big bad FBI man, and he can, like, fuck with people, and they're not going to do anything about it, and he doesn't care about their jobs or their livelihoods. So when Bobby out-detectives him and is just, like, Batman, basically, he gets upset because his whole world's upside down.
He is a Batman.
He should have been Batman. It would have been rad if he was a Batman back in the day. When Andy gets back to the house, Jill and Simone are waiting for him to get done with Fancy, and then he gets a phone call with a tip of where Gerard and Frankie is. He jokingly says, "Everybody, please be patient." After he gets the info from the tipster, he goes into the interrogation room with the one-way mirror with Jill and Simone, and Jill tells them Sipowicz and Bobby are both getting subpoenas that day, with Sipowicz being the suspect and Bobby being the witness. And they both kind of just stone-faced go, "Cool, thanks."
Yeah, they don't give a fuck about the information.
Which I thought was like, okay, that's kind of mean to do to your coworker. Because Sipowicz knows he's going to be on the grand jury because Simone told him. And he lies about it to Kirkendall, I assume to make her feel like, oh, she worked to get that info. I'll feel like she did something. Then when it comes to this, they're just like, okay. Not knowing that she had to let Leo feel up on her Kirkendalls to get that info.
And even Andy makes, like, a comment when she leaves. Because that's, Mom goes, like, "Oh, where is she getting their info?" And he was like, "Oh, from Leo. And hopefully she's not, like, she doesn't have to lay down to do it," or something like that.
He says all she
has... It's just some, like, offhand comment about basically, like, hoping she's not gathered to have sex with him for it.
He says hopefully all she has to do is listen.
Yeah, there we go. Hope all this is
Bobby tells Sipowicz in that meeting, that quick little exchange, he thinks that they're not looking at Sipowicz for doing it, that they're actually looking at Shannon or someone that Shannon knows or Shannon's involved. And they're just hurting Sipowicz just to hurt him. They get held up because Fancy comes in and says ESU has this Gerard Frankie guy holed up in a place somewhere. And they want us to come down and get him.
Where'd they have him hauled up again?
Like some, I don't know exactly where they said, but I think like some house or some apartment.
At a random housing place, okay.
Because when they get there, the guy's like, "Oh yeah, we got him and we're bringing him down. He was banging on somebody's door looking for a crack." And he's like, "Well, did he have the right place?" He's like, "The guy who lives there has no idea what he's talking about."
Dang, dude, that rock will do it to you, bro.
That's also just a crazy thought of like, because you live in New York. If just randomly a guy was banging on your door looking for crack, and the guy seems absolutely insane.
Imagine some dude just banging on your door, screaming at you, "Don't take my hose."
You're like, I don't know who your hoes are, sir.
But you wouldn't know what to do.
I'm not aware of any hose being taken. They start bringing him down. He's talking crazy. It seems under control. And then a shot looks like was taken at Sipowicz and misses and hits the window behind him.
Yeah. And, pardon my language, PC police, the biggest retard in the world comes running out into the middle of the street holding a gun, pretending to be a part of this raid, which he was not a part of in the beginning, and works for IAB and wouldn't be a part of. That is the definition of, like, a retard.
It was a pretty dumb move. I will agree with you. It was probably the dumbest move.
He's in civilian clothes. He's at the angle where the shot comes from, where it almost hits Sipowicz, and he comes running, like, straight at Sipowicz, going, like, "Hey, I want," and it's like, "Why are you here?"
Like, there's no explanation for him being there at all. And
the best part, and, like, Fancy Hand wasn't pretty good, because I would have been like, dude, what the fuck are you doing here?
You're right. Like, I don't even think about how asinine it is that he's even there until it's said. He goes, oh, I think it was coming from this other building. And then a woman in a window is like, take that guy's gun away. He's just shooting. Like, it points at him.
And here's the best part, right? He shoots at Sipowicz. He misses. His plan is shot. And so all his attention is now on Sipowicz, because everyone's like, wait, what the fuck? Why is someone shooting at Sipowicz?
Exactly.
Why not leave?
Why not just leave?
Why run onto the scene with your gun out? And then, without even being prompted, he yells out like, oh, I discharged this gun at a shooting range this morning. And it was like, no one, like, what?
Well, that's what's great. So, what? So,
my dude, what?
So he comes
like,
out.
Legit, what?
So this dude.
So-called Steve Austin. What? Like, what the fuck? Like, why did you think that was a smart plan?
Okay, so just to run down the sequence, because it is pretty asinine and insane. Shot happens. Shannon comes running up with his gun in the air and goes, everybody get down. I think he's in this building. A woman in the window goes, take that guy's gun away. He's shooting at people, and points at Shannon. And he goes, go back inside, ma'am. And then Fancy's like, Shannon, why don't you put the gun down and we'll deal with this. And we'll talk.
But you see at that point when all of this starts going down, and like, so Shannon runs out, right?
Yeah.
And Sipowicz and like Fancy are like, oh, and they see Shannon, and it's not until like the woman says like, get his gun, he's shooting. Then Sipowicz and Fancy have this moment where they both are like, oh, wait, what? Shannon's here? Wait, why is Shannon here?
Why is he here?
That's a little weird. It was cool that he was like running the street with a gun, but yeah, that's Shannon. What's he doing here?
And then Shannon. But like Fancy's like, okay, just put your gun down. We'll figure this out. Holster your weapon. And he goes, and I have the quote, I discharged this weapon at a private range this morning. Yeah, you probably didn't, though. Like, if you have to say that out loud, you probably didn't, though.
No one was asking.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that the woman's and like,
you wouldn't have had to answer any questions if you would have just ran away.
He eventually holsters his weapon, and Fancy takes a hold of him, and they put him in a car. And the look on Sipowicz's face is exactly what you would imagine if he just got shot at by an idiot. And now he has...
Oh, no, Kirk, you used the wrong word. Oh, retard.
Okay. Okay, you win the R word.
Retard's only a bad word because you think of someone who is mentally challenged. When no. I say the word retard, I think of this man.
They have this man in a interrogation with Martens and Sipowicz. And he's like... He's an idiot because he goes, I'm infiltrating the OC crime families, and I'm posturing to these guys. And then Martens is like, give it up, man. We have you on tape saying you killed Joe Salvo. We have it on tape. And he goes, okay, well, I was just saying that to get in good with them. And then Fancy pulls Sipowicz out to go talk to this crazy crackhead guy, hopefully to get something that makes sense out of him.
That's right, because Andy's doing, like, double duty. This is Bobby Ann around, so he's the go-to.
He's the go-to guy. And he pulls out of that interrogation, and Fancy goes in. He goes into the interrogation with the crackhead, and he's just speaking nonsense. Like, I couldn't really hold together what he's talking about and write quotes. There's a lot of, like, is she walking the streets of America? Then I ain't accomplished my mission. Shit like that. Like,
I thought it was great acting.
Oh, no, it was great. The guy's name is Clifton Powell.
Do you know how many people I've seen on the street that are that man?
A fair amount, I imagine.
Like people just walking down the street, like having full-on conversations with themselves, like about the weirdest shit.
Clifton Powell played Gerald. It's Gerald. Okay, I've been saying his name wrong. It doesn't matter. He doesn't go by one or the other.
Gerald
and Frankie. His names, but he's been in a bunch of shit, and he was really good in this part. It was just extra crazy.
He was also... Hold on. Before you move on through, bitch.
Because I can't remember any of the movies, and when I look at them, like, I saw the Friday movies, a couple of the Fridays, and I know I've seen them in shit, but I can't remember. And I couldn't find it.
I can't find it on IMDb. Fucking IMDb, man. He was in another motherfucking... He was in another NYPD Blue episode.
Oh, yeah.
He was the friend of a white woman who got
Yeah, and he was the guy that...
I think Andy accuses him of... Or they kind of accuse him of doing it, and he has that scene where he's like, oh, it's because I'm a black man.
That's right. He's like, I gotta have...
It's him.
That's right. He was the guy that's like, because I'm a black man, I have to have some friends that would rob houses and hurt people.
That's right. That's how it goes, because a girl got robbed. Yeah.
And Sipowicz and him get on it because Sipowicz just asks him those questions, and then he freaks the fuck out. And then I believe he comes back in to gloat that it didn't involve him at all.
Doesn't Fancy get up in his shit?
I think a little bit, if I remember correctly. I think Fancy gets up in his shit a little bit. Kriegel is in the one-way room with Simone, and Simone says, you knew that it was Shannon for months, and you didn't do anything about it. Why would you do that? And he goes, well, we got a new consultant at the FBI. His name's Haverhill. I guess he's told us we gotta look into your whole precinct. He's had some trouble with Sipowicz and Fancy. As you remember, he's the old chief of D's that tried to get rid of Fancy because he's racist.
He used the N-word on Fancy?
Yeah, he was...
A bad look.
Yeah, he's a pretty horrible, horrible character, and it turns out he's behind all this shenanigans.
Yeah, overall, not a good look for the guy.
Fancy in the room with Shannon, the IAB guy who is an idiot. You would say the R word. I'm pretty sure I've used it on the show, so I don't know why you would assume I'd freak out if you used it.
What word is that, Kirk? Retard?
Yeah, Rishar.
A retard.
A raptar. Retard. In the room, Fancy says... In the room, Fancy says, so IAB has you for killing Salvo. We have you for shooting at Sipowicz. So, what do you want to do here? And the guy's like, first the guy says, you wouldn't fib, would you? Which is like, okay, so you did it. Just admit you did it. Like, let's stop running around here.
Okay, let's get this over with.
In between that and the next scene with our main characters, Gina talks to Martinez, because this seems like the perfect time to do so. And,
they're the most awkward couple in the world.
All of their...
How old is she?
I would guess 23 years old. How old do you think she is?
I don't know, man, because, like, she exhibits attitude and the feeling of, like, she could be, like, 18 or 19 and, like, still living with her mom. And, like, just got out of high school, and her mom was like, you need to get a job, so she got, like, a job temping.
I mean, that's not far. That's not far from possible.
It feels like she doesn't understand the world.
No, not at all. And, because in this scene specifically, first, quick question about Gina. Where's her scar? You remember she had a scar last season? I remember she had a scar last season. It was only three or four months ago.
I didn't even think about the scar.
Where is Gina's scar? She got cut. She got basically
maybe
like...
Maybe Gina's scar hopped on over to the Lion King.
What the fuck? It's the dumbest joke you may have ever said. Gina Scar jumped over to the Lion King.
You get it? Because there's a character named Scar in it.
You fucking idiot.
You get it? You're welcome.
How did we get down this Disney hole? Oh yeah, where is Gina Scar?
Oh yeah. It's in the Lion King, bro.
Where did it go? Like, it was a big deal. They talked about it so much in season 4.
Oh she's my got God, a scar. To the point where they had, like, everyone who walked in the station comment on it.
Everybody had to make a comment. Like,
everyone had to be like, what happened to that bitch? What happened to her? Jesus Christ.
And now it's just not even mentioned. It's not there. No one talks about it.
Like, now it's like, damn, that bitch is pregnant. What happened? She ain't talking about it.
They're just hoping that her pregnant body is distracting all of us from the fact she has no facial scar.
Yeah, I'm just going to ignore the fact that she keeps getting bigger.
But that whole conversation between her and James Martinez is just about, hey, so I've decided people are noticing I'm pregnant, which is like, no shit. No shit, you're pregnant.
No shit, I'm wearing suspenders and a tight t-shirt. And the suspenders are for when I'm, like, normal size. Like, and you can see, like, how pregnant I am.
And then...
And she says something, she's like, oh, I think Bobby saw. And I think he was able to figure out. It's like, yeah, no shit, bitch. Everyone knows.
Everybody fucking knows. And James is like, I'd really wish you would let me do the right thing by marrying you. And she's like, no, I gotta think about it. I'm going to my mother's. Bye. And then there's a conversation between James and Medavoy where James is talking about Gina being pregnant and Medavoy talks about Abby being pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
On the phone, right? Yeah.
Well, no, they're next to each other talking about it.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking something else. Sorry.
And Medavoy's like, you wouldn't believe what Abby's having me get for groceries. And for a second, I was like, why are you getting the groceries? It's not.
Yeah, tell her lesbian life partner to go get that shit.
Because her lesbian life partner is a writer. She's got nothing but fucking time. Guess what you get to go do?
Tell her when she's on her way home from writing, she can pick up some shit. Like,
hey, guess what? Leave the typewriter for 30 minutes and go get some fucking groceries.
Yeah. Oh, that bitch would use a typewriter, too.
So, yeah, they have that weird-ass conversation to remind you that Abby's still in the picture for some reason.
Well, I mean, not just any reason. I mean, Medavoy, like, gave her sperm.
Yeah, he gave the sperm. He gave some sperm. To make the baby.
It's the only thing Medavoy has going on in his life.
We cut back to Sean.
Is that wrong? Like, you can laugh at that all you want and, like, brush it off, but is that wrong?
Well, I mean, he does have his own children that he's ignoring. We can talk to those kids. He does have two kids from a previous marriage that it doesn't seem. He even mentions Marie and her pregnancies, but not, hey, I'm going to go hang out with those children I have.
Right? Like, he kind of doesn't talk about them anymore.
They cut back to the interview room with Sean, Shannon, and Fancy. And Fancy's basically saying, hey, you want to write it down, Sean? How about you write it down? You want to write it down? Sean, this guy is trying to relate to them, and they're like, whatever, dude. Just write it fucking down so we can go home. When they get out of that room, Bobby and Martens have a quick conversation about being suspended for this asshole. And Fancy takes it as a jab at him, so he kind of gets angry with Bobby, saying, if it was my choice, you'd be here tomorrow. Are we cool? And he says, yeah, we're cool. By the way, it was Haverhill at the FBI who's hurting us. So that
I was fucking with you, yeah.
So that Fancy yells at Kriegel, and Kriegel's like, what are you yelling at me for? He's like, sometimes you gotta bend over and take one for the team. And Simone just quickly goes, how about you see if he needs a Coke? And opens the door for him and, like, pushes him away.
I mean, fucking Fancy's a pretty scary dude.
Why is he scary, Kyle?
Oh, because he's just big, and he's one of those people that, like, doesn't get loud, and so when he does, you know it's a big deal.
He's a, yeah, I can see that. He's
because, like, the whole time he's dealt with, in a lot of the scenes you've seen with, like, him dealing with Kriegel and everybody, he doesn't really, like, raise his voice. It's always, like, Bobby getting mad or the FBI getting mad. And so, like, he always keeps his cool. He's always the level head most of the time in the room. So, like, when he gets out of control, it kind of takes people off guard and can be kind of like, oh, shit.
Once he starts yelling, you gotta come on.
And he's black.
And, yeah, well, you know, that in and of itself.
That's what you wanted to hear.
That's not what I wanted to hear, Kyle.
But that's the clickbait stuff.
After they send Kriegel in to see if the Shannon needs a Coke, there's this weird, really awkward scene where they all meet up. And Jill and Russell show up saying, oh, the guy propositioned them to be prostitutes. Then Leo shows up to give them their subpoenas. Bobby wants to keep his. Sipowicz doesn't care for it. He has enough. And then he's like, can we talk for a minute to Jill? And then basically says, hey, so I know you were using me for the info. Do I still get pussy, though?
Oh, that's how you took it?
Yeah. You're still going to be around. Like, you're still going to hang out with me, right?
Oh, I took it a different way. I took it as him going to her and being like, I hope you weren't using my dick.
Oh, you thought he was... Just,
like, I thought he was going to her and being like, look, I like you, and now that this is over, I hope it wasn't just... I hope you weren't just fucking me to get information to help Andy and Simone.
That's what I
thought he was saying.
I thought he was saying, basically, man, I'd really like to keep having sex with you. I kind of dig it. Hopefully you're not going to throw me to the wayside now that you've gotten all the info you need. Yeah, he also just says in the office, I like spending time with you, and I like being naked with you.
I mean, go get it, son.
Go get it. Go get it, Leo. And he does that weird-ass puppet wave as he walks away from her.
It's like the only time that he's not, like, remotely a douche. You know what I mean?
When he's genuine and cool.
Yeah, like, he's still, like a smartass and shit, but he's not, like, he doesn't come off super douchey.
Yeah, just seems like he was just trying to be genuine. After that, the last scene of the episode, Bobby and Russell, well, they're having themselves a co-ed bath, which we all do, and Bobby mentions that he's going to be working the first week, the first month, well, he's going to be starting the first...
Words!
He's going to be starting the first of next week. She says, am I getting a marriage out of this? And he jokingly
is... That's weird.
Why is that weird? Why do you feel like that's weird?
Because, like, maybe it's weird because, like, all last season, it felt like she was pushing that shit. And so it just feels like, oh, we fucking, like, I get it. Like, you want to get married. Like, I get it. That's great. Like, but shut up.
Just shut up, Kyle says.
Just like for real, like, just stop talking. Like, I get it, you want to get married. Like, I just got my job back. Like, I just got my name cleared from being taken to court and maybe, like, lose my job. Like, just, like, let me breathe for a second. Like,
speaking of letting
keep
him
breathe. Keep playing with my nuts with your feet. And we can talk about this tomorrow.
We see, yeah, so I was going to get to that. They have a little playful banter where he calls her a lawyer, and she, like, jams her feet into his nuts, I guess, because he about jumps out of that tub. Then she just grabs the soap, gives him a little under-the-water handy, and then hops on, and they start, you know, fucking in the tub.
Get it.
He's getting it. So just for the, softcore... checklist here. We got two sets of side boob, some Kirkendalls and some Russells, and we got some Bobby Simone ass. So it was a full.
We got some Bobby Simone ass.
Yeah, we got a full plate of partial nudity in this episode. Is there anything else you wanted to mention before we end the show?
There was no side thing, right?
What side thing?
There was no side. Like, it was only the pimp and Bobby's thing. Metaboy didn't have a thing.
The only thing that was kind of a side thing was Gina and Martinez talking about getting married and Jill fucking Cohen. But that was basically it. There's not much side stuff.
True. Yeah, side action.
Well, I'm assuming because it was the beginning of the season after the big question of who shot Joey Salvo. It was kind of like, okay, well, we better address this. And it ends with Bobby getting his job back. Sipowicz is cleared. Everything's going to go back to semi-normal. Just with a much tanner and thinner Simone. Yeah, we're going to keep moving. So now we go on to the rest of Season 5. Every episode of Asher Brothers Podcast or NYPD Blue Balls is on asherbrotherspodcast.com. It's also on iTunes, Stitcher, and now Spotify. It's also on a couple other places that have podcasts. Just look for it, and I'm sure you'll find it. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, mostly just mentioning when new episodes are out. My name is Kirk, the other voice was Kyle, and keep watching NYPD Blue. It's still good after all these years.
Keep on chucking.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. It's no point in making them unless you're listening. And thanks for starting Season 5 with us. We should have a new episode 2 Tuesdays from now. And if you need NYPD Blue in your life, of course it's on Hulu and Amazon. If you need more NYPD Blue information in your life, there's always a couple books that you could check out. You could check out What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles about the show. You could check out True Blue, a book written by a creator and consultant about the first couple seasons. And you can check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, where he breaks down basically the whole thing. If you are just a diehard NYPD Blue fan and you need more info, that's how you get to it. And I can't thank you enough for listening. If you could, please rate and review the show wherever you are listening to it. That's how people see the show and hopefully get to listening to it. And then do the more important thing, and that's watch NYPD Blue, because it's the best show ever. Have a good one. Keep watching. Peace.